Hey, this is Carrie Peters.
And Stacey Morgenstern.
And welcome to Better Than Ever, a Health Coach Institute podcast.
Where we're here to question how we do life because the normal rules no longer apply.
Hello, Better Than Ever podcasters. Hannah Duncan here with two amazing student stories. We'll start this week's podcast off with an interview featuring HCI student and health coach Scott Leeper, who will talk about what it's like to be a man in the health coaching industry and his personal story to health coaching. Then we will meet up with HCI students Joyce Hack and Linda McLeod, who have just published their first book. Enjoy the amazing stories this week on the Better Than Ever podcast.
So I'm Scott Leeper, and I'm from Mishawaka, Indiana.
And Scott, what type of coach are you?
I'm a health coach, I'm a life coach, and a personal trainer.
And what influenced you to become a coach in the first place? Were you seeking a change in your personal or professional life?
I've always been good at giving people different perspectives, and I didn't know how to turn it into a profession until I became a personal trainer. When I was a personal trainer, when I started as a personal trainer, what I started to learn was you can teach people to pick things up and put them down all day long, but until you change their mindset, they're going to go back. If life gets in the way, one small hiccup in life gets in the way, they're going to go back and revert back to the way things were, and that is not showing up for themselves in a physical or nutritional sense.
Yeah, habit change is very important.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, like when you were starting this journey for yourself, will you let us know a little bit about your background? Like what led you to becoming a personal trainer and getting involved in the health and wellness industry?
Well, you know, I could go back 4 years when, you know, I was in the Marine Corps and, I ended up having to pull the plug on my dad. And he was a lifelong alcoholic, and the conversation I had with him was one day I went over to his house and he was supposed to meet me at my sister's house, and he told me he'd be there. Well, he didn't show up. I went, knocked on the door, he answered the door, and he was drunk. I said, "What are you doing? Why are you doing this still?" And he said, "Look at me." He says, "I'm fat, I'm nasty. Nobody loves me. Nobody wants me. This is my reality. What do you want from me?" And he was bawling like a 5-year-old kid. Now, as the kid who's, that was always your idol, that was always your hero, is your dad, that you don't know how to deal with that. Fast forward, I can't remember how long it was after that, but I want to say it was less than a year. I ended up pulling a plug on him. And, long story short, after I pulled a plug on him, I sat there with him and watched him die. And a lot of emotions started kicking up at that point, and a lot of just life in general. But it took a while for those things to really manifest in my own mind, as far as like mental strength is concerned. Unfortunately for him, he didn't have it. So when a year later, on his year anniversary, I found myself, I woke up drunk and had some of his belongings spread out throughout the entire living room. And I was passed out, face down, drunk. That told me there was an issue. That told me I wasn't dealing with this in a manner that was healthy. Well, I didn't hit it head on at that point. At the same time, I'm a new dad. My son was born 3 months after he was born. 3 months after my dad died, me and my wife started going through a lot of struggles in our relationship, and then we separated. And then at the same time, I get forced out of the military. And so all these things are occurring, and a lot of times, you know, people want to take their own life because of these things. I never had those thoughts in my mind, but at the same time, it was always a pity me complex. I knew I was in a hole, and I was expecting somebody to pull me out of the hole. Eventually, I had to learn on my own that people are trying to give me that rope to pull me out of the hole. I've got to pull myself out. So at one point I did become a personal trainer. And that was more just because I love fitness. I love the fitness lifestyle. But what got me into coaching, on top of me wanting to help people with, you know, view different perspectives and reframe their mindsets, is, you know, you can't expect somebody to walk into a gym and immediately make a change and just completely change their lifestyle without changing their mindset. So in comes health coaching, in comes life coaching, where I'm still teaching people to pick things up and put them down. But now I'm also helping that person change their mindset, different perspectives. And when life gets in the way, what do you do? You know, you don't just revert back to the way things were. You got to keep pushing forward. You got to be uncomfortable. Or you got to be comfortable being uncomfortable, right? So that's essentially what has led me to becoming a health coach.
So how happy are you with your decision to become a health coach?
I will never do anything else again. I love it. When you have a person that, when you first met him, you thought, if I don't talk to this guy, he's going to kill himself tonight. And now that person is one of the most positive people you know. When you have a friend who despises his wife because she cheated on him, and now they're falling back in love again, you can't... nothing is more fulfilling than making those changes, being a part of those changes. And that, in turn... helps your own life, helps your own relationship, because now you know, okay, these things are real. So if I don't hit certain things head on, whether it's relationship, finances, business, whatever, if I'm not hitting things head on, grabbing the bull by the horn, so to speak, either nothing's going to change or it's going to change for the worse. So
this, we were talking a little bit earlier, this is a female-dominated industry. Mm-hmm. What is it like to be a guy in this female-dominated industry of health coaching?
You know, from a male perspective, it can be maybe slightly intimidating at first, but that is just the outside looking in. I have zero issue being in gender... in an industry really doesn't matter, especially when it comes to being a part of changing people's lives. Gender has nothing to do with that. What people see on the outside is, yes, it's a female dominated industry, but the only reason why that is because women most of the time are more inclined to empower other women. But what that tells the outside world, the men in the outside world, is, well, I shouldn't be a part of that, because that's a girly thing, that's a female thing. Well, no, it's not. That's not it at all. So what it's going to take is for men to step up, and maybe it is, we are still masculine in the sense that, you know, we stand firm in our belief and we're firm with our... you know, our male clients or prospective clients, and, you know, giving them different perspectives, but also being soft at the same time to be able to celebrate some of their small successes, their smaller changes that lead to the big changes that they really need to make.
So, I mean, you've got a military background. That is an industry where you're not supposed to have emotions. You're supposed to sort of, you know, wipe it off, say it's okay. You know, why do you think it's important that men are coaches or men get coaches? Why is that important to you?
To break down the barriers. I was the same way. I had a ton of barriers myself. I had 13 years in the Marine Corps. A lot of bad stuff happened there at the end. Yeah, you build barriers very quickly. And the reason why men need coaches is because that person's going to help you break these barriers down, or at least give you the tools and the perception to be able to break those barriers down yourself. Because we live in a society where the man has to be in complete control, has to stay the alpha male, has to not show the emotion, but at the same time, if men have the right chemistry with other men, they will be quick to open up. And if another man can give that person a different perspective on issues that he's dealing with, or stresses they're going through, that one change in perspective could not only change the trajectory of that man's life, but his wife and his children's life as well. And the ripple effect is immeasurable.
Yeah. No, that's very, very real to me. My sister had a health coach, and watching her transform through what she has gone through, I know it's a female, but I'm more talking on the family effect. When she was happy and doing well, I was happy. My mother was happy. Like, I mean, that coach did the work with just my sister, but she was also helping all these other people along the way. So that's very real.
Absolutely.
So take a moment and think about all the people who you're going to help, or the people that you have helped. And in one word, tell me how that makes you feel.
Fulfilled. There's nothing like it. I could actually talk for hours about how it makes me feel. It's an amazing feeling, absolutely. And why haven't I done this sooner?
So, for the men out there that are, you know, maybe considering this or thinking like, oh no, it's a woman industry, or females are running it, this is not something a guy does, but they're on that fence and they see this as work that they might want to do, what would you say to them?
Stop following the status quo. If it's your dream, follow it. It doesn't matter what it is. If you don't follow your dream, how do you expect your kids to? You've got to follow what speaks to you. And if health coaching speaks to you, do it. Just do it.
And then what about the men out there who, you know, don't want to admit that they need help? I mean, you yourself, like, what would you say to somebody who's sort of in your position before you discovered this wellness industry? Like, do you have any words of wisdom for that person sort of struggling right there?
Maybe at the beginning you don't put your barrier down for the people around you, but lower your barrier in your mind in order for you to be able to have a more clear vision of what it is that you're actually trying to go towards. What new chapter in life do you want to see? What truth do you want to live? And if you can't get out of your own mind and you can't get out of your own way, you will never live your truth. Life's a journey. Get comfortable being uncomfortable.
Hello, Better Than Ever podcasters. I interrupt this amazing interview to bring you a little news. We have two ladies, Joyce Hack and Linda McLeod, who wrote a book. They put together a book called Loving Healthy Living. Where there is love, there is life. Hello, ladies. Thanks for joining us today.
Hello, Hannah. It's a joy to be here with you. Thank you.
What inspired you to compile all these stories and put them into a book?
It's really exciting to share, Hannah, how Joyce and I connected. We actually connected through HCI and Skills Labs, and really developed a real love for each other and got to know each other as friends. And one day through Skills Lab, Joyce asked me, what is one thing that you've always wanted to do in your life? And I said, I'd love to write a book. And she had already participated in a book, which she will share. But she said, well, let's write a book together. And so we explored what kind of book we'd like to share. And we all have stories that are exciting to share, and some of them are challenging stories. So we decided that because we were health coaches, we wanted to really bring a mission to the world and not only share our specific stories of how life challenges and how we've overcome life challenges, but we really wanted to share with the world how through chronic disease you can find alternative ways to be healthy. My story's in the book, her story's in the book, and really briefly, I was diagnosed with a lung condition that was pretty serious, very serious. Actually, my right lung had collapsed. And because of that, and wanting to share that, we just felt writing a story that would bring hope and inspiration for people who do suffer with an illness, it would really help to change their lives. And I know Joyce also has her part to share.
Yes, when Linda and I were doing Skilled Labs together, we were just I say the universe brought us together as great partners, because we both had a passion and a mission to change lives, and by helping others change their lives so that they could have a better lifestyle and just live a more vibrant, healthy life. I am a clinical dietitian for a number of years, so I always have that passion to change lives and help others. And so the opportunity came up for us to do a book, and of course, what other would we choose other than to educate the world in what matters most, and that is our health, because health is an asset. And we have the power to make choices around our own health so that we can live a healthy, vibrant life.
Now, I know that you feature some of the HCI tribe members, maybe even some of the leaders in our company. Would you care to share with our Better Than Ever podcast audience who they may recognize in your book?
Absolutely. Well, of course, we have Stacy and Carrie's story. They are two of our main features. And because we were in HCI and really admired what Stacy and Carrie have done in their lives in terms of overcoming sugar and other things, that we really wanted to share those stories because we know how many people in the world could identify with those stories and really see opportunities for making change. So we're really delighted that their story is out there and being told. And also Samantha Schmuck is also in the book and shares a very powerful story. We just really love all of them. A few others, Dana Cameron, Lucy Woods is a graduate of HCI, Amber Anderson, Chad Curtis, Peggy Heaton are all students of HCI.
They realized by changing their diet and eating healthy food, they really had a change in their life. And that is seen in the stories that they have shared.
So publishing a book is something that a lot of our tribe would like to eventually do. And now that you both have experienced this process, what is something that you learned during the process that you wish you knew before you started?
I'm going to tell you, Hannah, that if I had known this, I may not have started.
Oh, wow.
And that really is that publishing a book is not for the faint of heart. So, having a partner like Joyce, I must say, it has just been an enormous way for us to accomplish this, being partners, really just sharing this journey with each other has probably been the most life-changing for me. And being able to not only tell our story, but it's helped us to be involved in other people's lives, to be able to bring their story in this book. And, you know, in just really sharing for anyone who really is interested in writing a book, all I can say is that step into that circle, visualize that you can do it, believe that you can do it, and really just make it happen. It doesn't matter how long it takes, and it doesn't matter what you go through, but just set your vision to complete it. Because I'll just share, when my first group of books were delivered, I literally had tears in my eyes. It was an overwhelming experience.
Anything is possible, but there has to be that total commitment, determination, and perseverance. Because as we went along our journey, if we did not have that, the book would not have been completed. Mm-hmm. And so when you're hungry for something, you have to work for it. Mm-hmm. And yes, a book takes a lot of work. And sometimes there was fears. And what we both learned is we don't let our fears overpower our dreams. Mm-hmm. We had a dream to accomplish a book. And so nothing was going to stop us. We had to be hungry. And we have to be responsible for our own success. And writing a book is success. And so you're going to do whatever you have to do.
I also wanted to say, for anyone that is interested in writing a book, what is really important and what has been, I think, incredible for Joyce and I is having a team with us to help us accomplish this goal.
Yeah, our team was very loving and mm-hmm. kind and knew that we had a mission and really supported our mission. Mm-hmm. And I must say it was a team that through our experience in this journey that we will never forget.
You know, that's something that Carrie and Stacy talk about a lot too, is I think as entrepreneurs, you kind of want to take on everything yourself, but it sounds like you guys were smart and invested in dividing that help out, which ultimately added to your success in releasing the book. Now, from start to finish, how long did it take you to, you know, from the day you started thinking about it to compiling all of these stories, the recipes, to the day that you opened the box with all the books in it? How long do you think that was?
I'm going to say it was probably a good 18 months. What do you think, Joyce?
Correct. 18 months. Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. So, I mean, it's not several years, but I mean, it's still a good chunk of time to be dedicating to putting something like this together. Now, do you guys have any other tips for our coaches out there who are, you know, looking to inspire others by publishing their own book?
If you're going to do it as a bringing in co-authors like we did, and having co-authors, beautiful, and having stories to be shared, we loved it. But being a new experience for us, and now if we accomplish this again, we would do a contract, a very simple contract, having it signed, and what it is to be a co-author and their responsibilities, so that it would be more clarification. Because without a contract, our co-authors were amazing, but I know with a contract, it would have been a little bit easier. And so having that contract is very important for us, and it's been a learning experience. And also for anyone taking on the wanting to do a book, which is a beautiful goal, they just have to be ready for commitment, determination, and perseverance, and don't let fear take over their dream. And if this is what they want, be hungry for it and go for it. And it can be accomplished.
I would also like to add that if you really do feel that you've got a book inside of you, make sure that you write it. and before you do, do some research around all the options that are available for you to publish your book, and to align yourselves with people that have individuals or groups, but individuals who have a similar desire or mindset of what you want to share in your book. After we were very close to being completed the book and publishing the book, I attended a one-day seminar, which was sort of after the fact. However, I learned some really important things, and that was to really know what you can expect at the end of your journey, and not only at the end, but throughout your journey, and have that support. The other idea that I listened to very carefully, actually, that writing a book like ours and publishing a book with different authors' stories and how we wrote is a much more difficult book to market, other than if not that I would do this again, because I really, the way we did it was perfect, but if you were to write a story with other people's stories, you would actually write the book and include their stories as part of your writing rather than having their specific story highlighted the way we did it. And if, for example, when you look at Jack Canfield's books, that's how he writes. He writes but integrates other people's stories into his writing. And that is an excellent way of bringing other people's ideas and experiences into a book without highlighting them as co-authors the way that we did. But certainly doing your homework, knowing what to expect, aligning yourselves with a good publisher, knowing what they bring to the table, and kind of having a layout of your team and what to expect and how long it might take you and what your overall goal is. All of those things are key to making sure you make it to the end.
Well, thank you both for sharing your wisdom. And let's talk about the most important thing. How can students get a copy of your book?
Well, we have a beautiful landing page. It's called inspirehealthychoices.com. And if you go onto that page, you'll get a little bit of information and a way to order the book. It is published through Ingram, and it can be purchased online through Amazon. And also we have a Facebook page. It's Loving Healthy Living. This book is really a book of inspiration and hope that each and every health coach out there could really encourage their clients through whatever they're facing, whatever they're going through. This book is a gift that they could give to their clients that will inspire them and help them along that journey of coaching all their clients. So I would really love to see every health coach use it as a resource through their coaching careers.
Well, thank you both, and thank you for sharing your wisdom as well as, you know, really going for your goals. We're so excited to see you both take this big step into the world. And folks, if you are interested in purchasing this book, you can get it off Amazon, or you can go to their website, inspirehealthychoices.com. You can also follow them on Facebook, Loving Healthy Living Online. We can't wait to hear, you know, what happens next for you guys. Keep us posted. And thank you again for joining us and for being valuable members of the HCI tribe.
Thank you very much, Hannah. It was great to be here with you. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to Better Than Ever, a Health Coach Institute podcast. For more information on our programs, please go to www.healthcoachinstitute.com. Comment and share if you like what you hear.